Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I started a week and a half ago entitled Spirit, Soul, and Body. And this is the teaching that God used to just literally light a fire under me. This is how I began to start understanding things. And basically, this is like a foundation of everything that God has ever shown me. Everything that's working in my life basically all comes back to this. This is something that I use every single day of my life. And I just say these things to say that I believe that this is super important for you. The title on Spirit, Soul, and Body may not be real catchy, and it may not, reveal what this is all really about, but I'm telling you that this teaching has transformed my life. Actually, I guess you'd say this truth has transformed my life. And so I've been teaching on this for a week and a half, talking about that there is a spirit realm, and not only out there someplace, but on the inside of us. Every one of us have a spirit. And the spirit cannot be contacted or felt in any physical way. But the Bible teaches, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, that there is a spirit, soul, and body on the inside of every person. Then 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, when you get born again, it's your spirit that gets born again. Old things pass away, all things become new. You can tell that by deduction, because it's not your body that was changed. It's not your soul, your emotional, mental part that's changed. But there's a third part of you, your spirit, and it was completely changed, totally changed. Nothing the same in the spirit realm. And again, because most of us are limited to our five senses, what we see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. Most people are not really aware of what took place on the inside of them. So this week, what I've been doing is using scriptures to show the change that has taken place in your spirit. Ephesians 4:24 says that when you put on the new man, it was created in righteousness and true holiness. It is created that way. It's not in the process of growing. It's not like a seed was planted that it grows and grows and grows, and then eventually someday in eternity we will be righteous and truly holy. No, it says it was created that way. It's that way right now. In your born-again spirit, you are as righteous and holy and pure as Jesus is. 1 John 4:17 says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, speaking of Jesus, so are we in this world. Not so are we going to be in the next world. So are we in this world. Again, the only way that you can understand that, nobody is living as perfectly. Nobody is thinking as perfectly as Jesus did. But in our spirit, we are identical to the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says that he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. And that word one there is identifying identical a spirit. We are identical to Jesus. In the spirit realm, we are exactly the way that Jesus is. These are statements that are nearly too good to be true. And I know that there's some people that just say, no, this can't be true. And it's because you are so dominated by what you see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. And you know that as far as your physical body goes, that there's problems here. You have weakness, tiredness. You act wrong. You say things that are wrong. In your emotional realm, you think wrong. You have wrong emotions. You get angry when you shouldn't. You get depressed when you shouldn't. You know that there's just all of these failures, corruption in the physical, in the soulish realm. But I'm telling you that even though you can't feel it in any physical way, the Word of God is a window into the Spirit, and the Word of God says that your spirit is identical unto Jesus. That is a powerful, powerful truth. Let me take another passage of Scripture and use this to make this same point again. And here is one of the byproducts of understanding these things that I've been teaching on spirit, soul, and body, is that it just gives you an ability now to understand scriptures that you couldn't understand before. Because there are some statements in the Word of God that if just taken on face value, and if you don't understand this truth about spirit, soul, and body, they're impossible to understand. For instance, in 1 John chapter 3, in verse 8, it says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God." Did you know that that scripture is really problematic if you don't understand that this is talking about the spiritual part of you? That's the only part of you that has been born of God. Your body hasn't been born of God. It's got to be changed. It's been purchased, but it isn't yet redeemed. Your soul, your emotional, mental part of you, it has been purchased by God, but it's not yet redeemed. The only part of your redemption that is complete is in the Spirit. In the Spirit, you are exactly the way you will be a billion years from now in eternity. Your spirit doesn't have to be cleansed, dusted off, refurbished, injected with a new dose of the Holy Ghost when you go to be with the Lord. No, your spirit is perfect right now. It's as perfect and complete as it will be in eternity in heaven. Boy, those are powerful statements. But see, if you don't understand that, and if you just read this, that whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. Some people just really struggle with this. And let me put this, make it even more apparently confusing if you don't understand spirit, soul, and body, because the same author said over in 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 8, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." Well, these verses are talking about sins and that Christian sins. And if there's any doubt that he's talking to Christians, in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "My little children." This is the Apostle John talking to people who were under him, born again people that he had brought to the Lord and discipled. He was their apostle. He says, "My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Here he is talking about Christians sinning. And yet over in 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God." This is the same author. It's the same letter. There is no way that John is sitting here saying that a Christian cannot sin. And all of these verses, they all fit together. He did not contradict himself. So how do you understand this? Well, a lot of people just throw their hands up in the air and say, well, the Bible's so hard to understand. One of the ways that it becomes crystal clear is, again, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, "Whosoever is born of God." What part of you is born of God? Your body's not born of God yet. Your soul isn't born of God. It's the spirit part of you that was born again. If you were to turn over to John chapter 3, where Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he said that you have to be born of water, talking about this natural birth, and of the Spirit. There has to be a physical birth and there has to be a spiritual birth. It's the spirit part of you that is born again, and the spirit part of you cannot sin. It's incapable of sin. It's righteous. It's holy. It's pure. If you are out here as a Christian living a life of sin, then that is a testament to the fact that you are not letting the born-again part of you dominate. You aren't walking in the Spirit. You are being governed and dominated and controlled by just your physical, soulish appetites. But see, you cannot sin in the spirit realm. Now, some translations have tried to deal with this verse and this apparent contradiction that I've explained today by saying, well, this is talking about you can't habitually sin. In other words, you might sin a little bit, but you won't habitually sin. And they will use as an example that a person might have been an alcoholic before they get born again. They might go get drunk once or twice or three times, but you aren't going to still be an alcoholic. There's going to be a change. And they will say that you can't habitually sin. You know, you might be able to interpret it that way if you only talk about the big sins. But if you use the Bible definition, "To him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin." The Bible defines sin as not only violating some standard over here and doing what's wrong, but failing to do what is right is also sin. And you know what? Every one of us habitually sin. Every one of us habitually fail to pray, to study the Word as much as we should, to love God and to love our mate and to love our children and to love our fellow man the way that we should. We all habitually sin. You don't even have to go into all of those things. Most of us habitually overeat. Because you know what? If you're fat, and I know that some people get offended me even talking about this, but the truth is, this is accurate. If you are fat, you can't get fat off of eating one meal and you get fat. That's not how it happens. To gain weight and to be overweight, you have to habitually overeat. You can't gain 100 pounds in one meal. You have to habitually do it over and over and over and over and over again. So a person who would interpret 1 John 3:9 that says that this is talking about you cannot habitually sin, then you are going to have to say that any person who's overweight can't be born again because that's a sin. The Lord told us that our body is a temple of the Lord. We're supposed to glorify God in it. And again, you can't get fat off of just one time. It has to be habitual sin. You would have to exclude any person who habitually fails to study the Word and pray and love their mate and habitually falls in any area. You know what? That's impossible. This cannot be what it's talking about. But if you understand that this is talking about your spirit, in the spirit realm, you were created righteous and truly holy, 1 Ephesians 4:24, 1 John 4:17, as Jesus is, so are you in this world. In 1 Corinthians 6:17, it says, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. If you take all of those things and talk about your spirit being perfect and pure, and then say that your spirit cannot sin, well then, see, that makes perfect sense. And basically the point that he's making, if you were to read all of 1 John, he's talking about that there were people who had taken these teachings about that in the Spirit you've been united with God, you've had God's righteousness and holiness and goodness imputed unto you. It's not based on your own personal works. People had taken these truths, but then they had basically gone far beyond what God intended to the point that they said, it doesn't matter. You just can go out and live any way you want to. It doesn't matter. Sin is unimportant anymore. And so what John is doing in this book is writing and saying, first of all, that if you've been truly born again, that born again part of you cannot sin. Paul said this over in Romans chapter 6, that the born again part of you doesn't want to sin. You are dead unto sin. Romans chapter 6 verses 2 and 3. And if a person is truly born again, they aren't looking for an excuse to go live in sin. They are so in love with God, they want to live a holy life. They want to do what's right. So the very first thing is that a person who would say that, man, this is wonderful, I can just go live in sin, you ought to be born again. You need to get your nature changed. You need to get rid of that sinful, dead nature that is looking for an excuse to sin. And you ought to be born again. But then beyond that, not only do you not have the desire to sin, your born-again spirit can't sin. Your flesh can. In your actions, you can still do things that are wrong, but your born-again spirit doesn't have any propensity for sin whatsoever. But then beyond that, you need to recognize that even though your spirit is in right standing with God, and God is a spirit, and He's looking at you in the spirit, and you're clean, you don't want to go out and yield to sin, because Romans 6:16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, servants to obey, His servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. If you go yield to sin, then you yield yourself to Satan, the author of that sin. And Satan is going to come in and take advantage of you. It's just like you fling a door or a window open to the devil, and you will allow him to come in and wreak havoc in your life. You don't want that. So there's two real good reasons right there. And basically, this is what Romans 6 is teaching about. If you'd go study it, it gives you these two reasons. First of all, you're dead to sin. Your spirit cannot sin. There is no desire. There is no leaning towards sin in the born-again spirit. And then secondly, you don't go live in sin because every time you live in sin, you give your physical body and your soulish, emotional realm over to the devil just to come in to steal, kill, and to destroy. John 10:10 says that's all he ever comes to do is steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. So you don't want to give place to the devil. You don't want to open up your life to the devil. So a Christian is wanting to live holy. But man, these are powerful scriptures, and this is the point that he's making, that if you've been truly born of God, that born-again spirit on the inside of you does not want to sin. It cannot sin. And it will lead you away from sin. It will lead you into agreement and cooperation and compliance to God and to His standards. Any person who would say that, man, I've received the grace of God and I now am clean in my spirit and so this frees me to go live in sin, you have really missed some serious foundational truths here. I would question whether you're truly born again. But that's what these verses are talking about. And when I begin to understand this, I tell you what, it just transformed my life. It just transformed me. For instance, you know, I still have a physical body. I still have a soulish mind. Now, I've got this born-again spirit on the inside of me, but I'm not completely redeemed yet. My spirit is redeemed and it's complete, but in my soul and in my body, I still make mistakes. And you know what? When people talk about me and people say things, it tends to hurt my feelings and I can be depressed, which is wrong. It's a sin. I could be angry and bitter and critical and have unforgiveness in my life. But now, see, with this understanding that I have, I know that it's not my spirit. My spirit, at my nature level, my born-again self isn't angry with people. I can turn around, I can see how Jesus was, and as Jesus is, so am I in this world, 1 John 4:17. I can see that Jesus had so much compassion and love that He could turn around to the people crucifying Him and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, I know that now in my spirit, I have that type of compassion. I have that love. I don't always feel it. I had a guy spit right in my face while I was witnessing to him one time, and I guarantee you, I didn't feel goosebumps and love just rolling out of me. I wanted to punch the guy's lights out. But you know what? I am no longer limited to only what I feel in my flesh and in my soul. I know that there's a third part of me that is identical to Jesus. And what would Jesus do? Well, I saw Him on the cross forgive the very people who were crucifying Him. And I believe that I have that same love on the inside of me. So when this guy spit in my face, I was able to wipe that off and keep going. I never missed a word in the sentence, and I just kept telling him about the love of God and telling him about how Jesus loved him. Now, see, some people think you can't do that. That's because they aren't spiritually minded. All they are is physical minded. All they're doing is they think that what they feel is reality. They don't know that there's another part of them that is beyond what you feel. If you've been born again, there is a spiritual part of you that can live as God lives because it is His Spirit that has come on the inside of you. And this has just revolutionized my life to understand this. I come up against situations where in the natural, it's physically impossible. And you know what? There's a tendency to just limit yourself and say, well, this is beyond our ability, and you just kind of roll with the punches and you become accepting of all of these things that are just, you know, bigger than you. But when you understand that you've been born again and that now you have this Spirit of Christ living on the inside of you, it changes your attitude. I no longer look at things and say, well, this is impossible. There is nothing impossible. Impossible isn't a word that even exists with God. With God, all things are possible. And it changes the way you look at things. You know, we're in a building that was just absolutely impossible, but we're now in it. I have seen miracles happen in my life and in the lives of other people which are absolutely impossible, but it happened. I tell you, when you begin to understand these things, it changes your identity. I no longer am just an old sinner saved by grace. I was an old sinner, but I got saved by grace, and now I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21. In my spirit, I am identical to the Lord Jesus. I have the mind of Christ. I have His power, His nature, His ability living on the inside of me. And so therefore, I don't approach my life and my situations and the problems that come against me as an old sinner saved by grace. I approach them as a new, born-again man, a new species of being that never existed before. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I've got power and ability on the inside of me that makes a difference in the way that I face my situations. Man, I don't know if this is helping you. It's about to get me preached happy. Amen. I can never go through these things without it just blessing me. This is what's changed my life. You know, I know that there's people watching this program that for whatever reason, you just are sitting there saying, I don't understand why you're excited about this. I'm telling you, you are missing one of the greatest truths. If this doesn't light your fire, your wood is wet. You know what? You need to keep at this. You need to listen until somehow or another this sinks in on the inside of you. You need to get these materials. I'm telling you that this is the foundational thing that just revolutionized my life to understand that I am a new person. And any time I'm out here and caught up in my emotions and it feels like, oh man, I'm just driven to sin, driven to anger, bitterness, or whatever it is, and I go to feeling like, well, I can't help it. It's just the way I feel. Boy, it has changed my life to recognize there is a third part on the inside of me in the spirit realm, according to 1 John 3:9. It cannot sin. It will not sin. It has no desire for sin. And all of a sudden, it just breaks the dominion of that sin, that lust, that desire on the inside of me to know that there's a part of me that is unaffected by this. I can't feel it. I can't see it in the mirror. But I can go to the Word of God. I can look in this spiritual mirror and I can find that it's there. And just me knowing that I have this resurrection power, that I have overcome sin in my spirit realm, that my spirit man is dead to sin, it affects the way I think. It affects the way I feel. It affects my actions. And you know what? I'm living holier accidentally now than I ever lived on purpose before. See, when you think that you're just an old sinner saved by grace, and that's all there is, and you think that your salvation is really going to start when you get to heaven, but right now you're just a sinner down here and that you don't have any power. If you think that, then when sin comes, you'll resist to a degree, but after a while you just think, well, you know what? I can't help it. It's what I feel. It's what I am. And you give in to it. But when you know that, man, there's a part of you that is holy and righteous and pure, and when you're focused on that, it will become a self-fulfilling prophecy. As you think about how that your spirit man is dead to sin and it is now dead to failure, as you think that way, you'll start experiencing that in your life. It will give you a new motivation, a new dose of the power of God to be able to resist. And that's what I experience in my life. You know what? My life, honestly, is not normal. If you just consider people out here, even normal Christians. You know what? I'm living above the normal. I'm living and seeing things happen that could not have happened in the past. And I'm saying that this teaching on spirit, soul, and body, I believe, is a key that planted that seed that's making all of these things work.
I've never had such good teaching, and I have been to Bible schools, Bible colleges. I graduated from a Christian high school. Nobody teaches like these here. You know why? Because they teach you to know Jesus.
Charis Bible College has been making disciples and changing lives since 1994, and we've outgrown our Colorado Springs facility. Phase one of our new Woodland Park CBC campus has been fully funded and completed, and phase two of the project is gearing up right now. Andrew and Jamie would like to give you the opportunity to join hands with them by becoming a foundation builder and contributing financially toward building the lives of CBC world changers. You can get more information by calling, writing, or logging on to awmi.net/partnership. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College today. Change your life. Change the world.
I was born with congenital heart disease. The doctors gave up hope on recovery for me. I was turning the TV on one night while I was up taking medication, and there was Andrew teaching on God's kind of love, and he was talking right to me.
Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, the Lord said, "Behold, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that you and your seed may live." The Lord says that there's really only two options. There's life or death, blessing or cursing. Sometimes we think that there's all these other options, but the truth is, really, every decision you make is either moving you closer to God, which is life and blessing, or it's moving you away from God, which is towards death and cursing. And the good news is God gave you that choice.
Well, after listening to Andrew's teachings, I studied the Word night and day, and God spoke to me. And He told me all was healed, all was well, even while I felt miserable. And I just left that identity. I left that sickness, and I'm healed.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 4th through the 6th, in Tinley Park, Illinois, Sunday, August 7th, and in the New England area for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 25th through the 27th. He'll also be in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting September 11th through the 16th, in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 17th and 18th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado, for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 3rd through the 7th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Andrew's complete teaching series titled Spirit, Soul, and Body is available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. Or if you prefer, Spirit, Soul, and Body is available in book form when you send a gift of any amount. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. The second audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD titled Eternal Redemption, free of charge. A condensed version of Spirit, Soul, and Body is also included in Andrew's latest book titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword. This valuable book contains abbreviated versions of 16 of Andrew's most foundational teachings. It's available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.